This first episode of Grapes and Gorak, we're going to roll into the Vikings 53-man roster.
This is the official first episode.
We recorded
one last week, but we're going to release that like when we've got like, you know, maybe 50 listeners. You know?
Yeah,
when we
hit that one was all over the place. It felt good, though. It felt good after a while. So, I mean, I think this one's going to feel
like
a little
better.
That's
like an Easter egg for like way down the road.
Yeah, I think this one's going to go a lot better. I mean, people eventually will love that Easter egg, though.
Yeah,
they're
going to
be like, whoa, what is this?
What is this trash that these two did to begin their podcast?
Well, I mean, you know, we'll figure it out. There's a lot of Teddy talk on that one.
People like the Teddy talk. So I heard the Jets are open to trading him. Did you see that on Roto World?
Oh, well, they take Kirk Cousins.
Will they swap quarterbacks?
No, I did not see that on Roto World.
Yeah. Teddy B, they're going to trade him, which makes sense. They got Darnold, so why
yeah.
wouldn't they?
But, yeah, I mean, Darnold's clearly the best option in New York, aside from
well,
Teddy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Aside from Teddy.
Wrong.
But, I mean.
But they took him
third overall. Because who
Mayfield?
Was, Mayfield won. And Barkley.
Oh, yeah, Barkley. Yeah. So, yeah. They're so, yeah. clearly not going to go with Teddy, but maybe he'll end up on, like, Miami.
Yep.
Daniel's job.
Yeah,
back with Devontae Parker.
Something could happen with Tannehill. What else is open? Anything?
Winston's right? clearly not long for this league. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's
put Teddy in Florida. That's where he wants to be.
Well, know? That's home.
Yeah, that's home for Teddy.
I mean, that's home.
But enough Teddy talk. You know, we'll save that for
don't
another
stop
time.
Me. Don't stop me in the middle.
We're gonna break down each position, 53-man roster, our best guesses for the upcoming season. We'll look back. And see how wrong we were.
We are in no way experts on this. Like,
we're
this
just
is
two idiots talking. But I think we're gonna nail it. Well, I'm gonna nail it. I don't know. Yours is probably wrong.
Oh, well, as long as you have
And I have like who I think is a lock to make the team.
Okay.
And then who I think is like gonna make it, but like he's gotta battle for a job. I mean, you could probably do that on the fly.
Yeah, I could figure that out. But just hear me out though. Dalvin Cook returning as starting running back. Hot take or no?
I think he's going to win the job. I think in no knee brace, so he's good to go.
So I am going to put a lock next to him.
We're going to start with obviously the quarterback position because that is the top of the roster.
And it's brand new for us too this year.
Yeah,
almost through and through.
Yeah, everyone but Kyle Sloter.
Yeah, and he's got lots of potential.
You got Sloter making the roster.
I do.
Is it Sloter, Slaughter?
I don't know.
I think Slaughter sounds cooler, but I feel like it's probably not.
But name. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to call him Kyle Sloughter.
He looks good.
He does.
At least he had that good preseason tape for the Broncos. And yeah.
I mean,
he's tall.
He held
big
the helmet
arm.
Pretty well yes,
yeah,
last
looks,
year.
He looks like a quarterback, which is always good. Yeah. I also have, you have the three, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Siemian, and Kyle Sloughter.
Yes. Let's go into Cousins a little bit, though. I mean, obviously we gave him... What was that? $84 million guaranteed.
Is that what you wanted going into the...
I mean, he wasn't my first choice. I mean...
I think he was my second choice.
The thing is like, I never really thought we were, like, in the running for Kirk Cousins. You know, you've got all the talk elsewhere of, like, him getting big money from everyone. And I couldn't fathom throwing that much money at a quarterback. I mean...
I was such a Teddy guy that I sort of was like, let's not go for him. And then it made me think, oh, we're probably going to go for him because I'm not really super into it.
But once we did, once it was like, all right, Vikings are in on Kirk Cousins, it was like...
Well, that's kind of cool. Because I do think it was like the safest move because like you're not dealing with injury history with Bradford and Teddy. And you're not dealing with Keenum. I never really liked him that much. I think Kirk Cousins is a big upgrade from him.
Huge upgrade at the quarterback position for the Vikings.
I'm okay with it. I do think Kirk Cousins is more of like, you know, like... The 14th best quarterback in the league. He certainly shouldn't be the highest paid, but
he's also got. But he's probably got the best weapons surrounding him.
Yeah, and he'll be.
So,
he's definitely.
I mean,
good.
I mean, when you saw 4,900 yards in Washington, I mean, that's. I don't want to say easily doable, but I mean, you can see him doing that in this offense.
Yeah, and I think
you're protected by a running game and everything like that.
Even if the stats aren't as good, just because I think we'll be icing some games with running, but he's gonna be. I think he's going to be an upgrade over Keenum, and Keenum was very good last year.
It's going to be nice having a quarterback that you can like be down three or four or even more and go, all right, you know, we've got a guy who can bring us back.
Yeah, we can still win this game.
Kirk Cousins can sling the football.
And he's a real NFL quarterback, starter, top, you know, yeah, top half of the league.
I mean, drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I mean, so you drafted in the top half of the draft. I mean, he's not a joke quarterback.
Yeah, he's
pretty.
You don't put 4,000 yards up repeatedly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he doesn't get hurt.
I love it.
Has no injury history. Seems like he's, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw on Twitter today it sounded like the Vikings kind of let him in the leadership role right away, which he said he was surprised about. He thought he would have to kind of earn it a little bit. But I like that, that the guys are already backing Cousins as, like, their guy. And,
well, before he even came, like, you know, we had the, what is that called, the Super Bowl where the, like, the media.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Thielen was doing interviews and was literally like, Kirk Cousins, like, bring him on. Like,
and, you know, Kirk
the players wanted him. They want.
And Cousins was here.
Yeah, Cousins was in town.
And he, like, saw the new facility and everything.
Yeah, she was checking things out. And, I mean, I think the players know this team is ready to win now. And it's like, yes, Bradford's super talented. Or Teddy seems like he's got a great future.
Or Keenum, what he did last year.
But it's like, all of that could easily. There's parts where that could go totally wrong. With Cousins, it's just a safe bet.
Yeah.
Get the good quarterback in here. He's got no injury history. He's not a 1 year wonder. He's done it.
Yep, it's a 3 year deal. He's entering we're gonna probably get the three best years of Cousins' career.
Well, it should be with those weapons.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, there's that. Yeah, yeah. But in his prime, like he's.
And I think we got him for, you know, there was rumors 30+ million that the Jets were coming after him for that much more. 27 is it's the most until Matt Ryan, but I was more okay with it then when I saw that contract.
Fully guaranteed kind of threw me off, but
it's a 3 year deal. Clearly what it was. Well, you didn't tack on the 2 extra years that aren't guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have 5 years in control and he gets all of his money, gets to hit the market again.
Exactly.
If that's what it took to lower that average yearly
salary. If we even let him hit the market again.
Yeah. Well, because you could always tag him or, you know.
We can extend him. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things there.
What about Trevor Siemian? Do you think he's a lock to make the roster?
I
kind of went back and forth, and looking at it now, I have him down as not a lock. I think he's a lock.
He's got to be a lock.
I think you
get with all the injury history and everything we've had at the quarterback position, having a quarterback who started football games,
won games. He reminds me of Case Keenum, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
he's competent, and
yeah.
Like you're like, okay, like if Cousins is down for 3 or 4 games. You're not just basically losing 3 or 4 games in a row. You remember when we went to the Tennessee Titans game?
Yes.
Right after Bridgewater got hurt. Bradford was backing up.
Oh, yeah.
And who do we have to watch?
Sean Hill.
I mean, we went into a season with Sean Hill as our backup. And Teddy got hurt and immediately had to get someone else. So
yeah,
I like that they went out and got a real backup.
Yeah, I mean, Siemian, I mean, he doesn't always look the best, but he's made big-time throws.
And like, give him Diggs, Thielen, Dalvin Cook, he can win some games.
Yeah. I mean, he won games in Denver with relatively the same, with a lesser running back.
Yeah, pretty good receivers.
Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders aren't a joke.
But I think our offense is definitely better than the Broncos. And,
yeah.
But a good, competent backup.
And,
so Slaughter can continue to just learn.
Yep, and it's this kind of the same situation where, you know, you got a top defense behind him where he did in Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Von Miller.
Again, it just reminds me of Case Keenum. When we got Case Keenum, it was like, oh, Case Keenum, okay, he's a cheap veteran backup, whatever.
Yeah.
But at least he's played in some games. He's not, again, Sean Hill super old, or if you went with just Kyle Slaughter as your
and
backup.
Like, Sean Hill was never a starter in this league.
He was always a backup. Bouncing around. I mean, as soon as Teddy got hurt, they didn't just go, okay, Sean Hill, it's your job.
Yeah.
We went out and traded a first-round pick to get a new guy in here.
Exactly.
I mean, that was a mistake going into that season with Sean Hill. That's your only other option.
I mean,
I think we learned because we gave up a pick to get Siemian. I mean, I know we got a pick this year.
Sixth round pick for Siemian?
I think next year. We got a 7th and Siemian this year.
Yeah.
Something like that. But we gave up something to make sure we didn't just have.
Exactly. We're not entering the year with Kyle Slaughter as our backup.
Yeah. So he can sit and continue to, you know, hold the helmet and learn and do whatever he's got to do. But
no, exactly.
So we both, three quarterbacks. I didn't even see, is there a fourth arm in camp?
I thought I saw one today, actually, on the Daily Norseman, when there was a fourth one in camp.
Okay, well, he's just a camp arm, I assume.
Yeah,
no
but
way.
I mean, I just don't see the Vikings going in with just two quarterbacks into the season.
And I do think they like Kyle Slaughter enough to keep him on the, I mean, they did it all last year. They kept him on the 53.
Exactly. They plucked
him off of Denver, and they kept him all season, even when we had Teddy and
Keenum. Bradford was healthy at the end of the other. Yeah, we held still... four quarterbacks for the last game. Oh, no, my bad. Bradford came back.
He came back, yeah, eligible. I don't know how that game. All works as far as the playoffs, but we did keep him as a third for quite a while.
Yes.
So moving on, running backs. I only have... Well, let's do running backs with fullback.
I like that. I like that. I like having them.
So I have only three running backs making a team, and that includes C.J. Ham.
And that includes C.J. Ham. That includes
C.J. Ham.
Okay.
Because I think C.J. Ham could be...
I think he doubles down as a running back, yes.
He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. I mean, what I think is they'll put one of these other guys on the practice squad. So if Dalvin Cook went down, if Mary went down, they would just call him up.
Let me stop you there. Who would be the top guy that they would call up? Like,
I like Rock Thomas.
You like Rock Thomas?
I don't know a ton about him, obviously, but he was a high recruit out of high school.
Yep.
I think he bounced around college. I think he went to
it was two big
schools. It just seems like he's one of them, a lot of talent, didn't really go right in college, but you're kind of taking a flyer on a guy.
Yep.
And the other ones, you know, Mac Brown, he's been with the Redskins. He is what he is. I don't know much about Mike Boone. I don't know if you...
I've got Mac Brown making the roster.
Making the team?
Yeah, okay. I'm keeping, with fullbacks included, I'm keeping four.
So you got four. So you have Dalvin Cook, obviously.
Yeah.
Back, Latavius Murray, who I thought was better than I expected last year.
Definitely.
I thought he has great vision. I mean, he's not going to break any big, huge plays or anything. Catches the ball well. Does everything well.
Yeah, no, he's solid, solid back.
And then you have Mac Brown making it.
Okay. Yeah, because I just... keep going through the roster and everything. I always go back to Mac Brown catching passes with Diggs and Thielen.
I did see that. Yeah. So he's in the inner circle.
Exactly. So you feel like he's Cousins trusts him. Like, I think
Vikings, did play with him, I would assume, with Washington.
I believe so.
I would think that overlapped, yeah.
And so I think, Latavius Murray obviously can play all three downs. But if Kirk Cousins likes to scat back, yeah, why can't it be Mac Brown?
Right.
And I do like Rock Thomas. I really do. I think we'll obviously try and sneak him on the practice squad.
I think that's kind of where he'll end up.
But
one of those guys.
But I can see Rock Thomas getting plucked, just like we took Slaughter. Because, like you said, he was a top recruit. Mm-hmm. And he bounced around.
Plays well in preseason or something, a team got their eye.
And, I mean, if he does play very well in the preseason, I can definitely see him and Mac Brown switching. Like, those were the two I was going back
and forth.
It was
either
Mac Brown or Rock
Thomas.
When
I ended up taking Rock Thomas off the roster, it was... after I screwed up the tight end part. So I had to cut four more players because I didn't realize that tight end I messed up.
Yep.
So Rock Thomas was one of the last cuts. But I just think C.J. Ham is pretty versatile. I think he can be blocker, which we don't use a ton.
And that's one thing, like I saw a lot of people like keeping like four running backs and a fullback. And it's like, that's like with C.J. Ham, he doubles down at that position.
Yeah.
He was a running back before. He put on some weight. They tell him how to lead block and everything.
Like, yeah, but I think in a pinch, he could do what Matt Asiata did. Run straight, one cut, just kind of push the pile. And he had a couple nice fullback screens and stuff last year where I think if during a game,
if
Cook or Murray went down, he could fill in as that backup. Now, the next week, you would just call up your practice squad guy if it's Rock Thomas, if Mac Brown's still eligible. I don't know if he is.
If Mac Brown gets cut, I mean, he's probably going to be floating around.
Yeah, so you could pick a guy up during the week, So I got Dalvin Cook, Murray, C.J. Ham. You have Dalvin Cook, Murray, C.J. Ham, and Mac Brown.
Mac Brown, yes. All
right, okay.
Yep.
All right, should we head to receiver?
Unless you want to talk a little more about how excited you are for Dalvin Cook being back, since we're on the running back.
Let's talk a little Dalvin Cook.
He was very good last. What did he do? Didn't he average like 4.6 per carry before?
Well, he was leading the league in rushing before he got hurt. I mean, again, people talk about Kamara and Hunt.
Yeah, I mean,
he'd have been right in that conversation.
And that's the thing, kind of heating up back as training camps roll around. You get a lot more people talking. Like, people forget that Dalvin Cook was the top rookie running back last year. Ahead of Leonard Fournette before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, I also saw something like Dalvin Cook put up better numbers in college than Fournette did. I think Dalvin Cook is one of the top college running backs all around, aside from Barry Sanders and one other person. I think he had most rushing yards in his collegiate career.
Really?
So, yeah. It was really weird because I just saw this like this past week. So,
well, it's funny because Cook, it was like you watch him and he was just a monster at Florida State. But then he tested it and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
but solid. Then you saw him
in a Viking uniform. And he just makes people miss. He doesn't take big hits. He's just got that smooth, too, just the way he runs.
And, like, you watch him like you used to watch Young Peterson, where it was like every time he touched the ball, it was like, oh, the dude's going to make something happen.
And that's the difference, I think, when you lose, you know, they talk about how good Jerick McKinnon's going to be in the 49ers. It's like, I didn't have that feeling with Jerick McKinnon that he was going to break one every time. With Dalvin Cook, it's like, okay, what's going to happen here? He could take this 80 yards at any time or catch it past the backfield. I mean, McKinnon can catch, but it certainly didn't seem like... I don't think teams are afraid of Jerick McKinnon, and they're not afraid of Latavius Murray, but Dalvin Cook adds a whole other dimension to our offense that we don't have.
Yeah, because, I mean, Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, they did a great job last year filling in for Dalvin Cook, but our offense wasn't as explosive.
It's not Dalvin Cook, you know? It's different. And yeah, I mean... I think the 49ers are in for a little bit of disappointment if they think they're getting some new star young running back. He's solid. He's fine. He catches. He runs. McKinnon's fine, but... There's a reason we drafted Dalvin Cook when we had
signed
Latavius Murray the same offseason. Yeah, because we saw McKinnon as more of a third down change of pace.
When we
guy.
Had Matt Asiata, you know, Asiata started the game.
He still got. And even last year with Murray and McKinnon, I thought there was plenty of games where Murray actually outran.
Oh, definitely.
McKinnon. There are some games where McKinnon kind of had his games too.
But going back to Dalvin Cook, I mean, he just looked better. We had two running backs replace him. And with him on the field, the offense is just that much more explosive. And like I said, every time he touches the football, like, you think he's gone.
Yeah, you think there's a chance. It's like when Randy Moss, you'd have, like, our quarterback drop back and just launch it, and you knew Randy Moss was on the other end of it.
Yeah.
You'd, like, stand up a little bit. Like,
yeah, move forward.
Touchdown's coming. Yeah. Like, it's happening. With Cook, I mean, it's not like that, because Randy Moss is different. But yeah. With Cook, you at least, with like you did with Peterson... You think at any time your running back can bust one for a touchdown or at least make a great play where it's – we haven't had that. We've had it with Peterson, but whenever there's a backup in or even McKinnon or Murray or – it's just a chain mover kind of guy.
Exactly.
So it's a whole other dimension back in this offense.
And I was always like, well, who's – you know, I was really bummed about losing McKinnon right off the bat because I was like, well, who's our scat back going to be? You know, like who's gonna play third downs? But then –
It's
Dalvin Cook. Like, we have a three-down. We don't need another running back.
Before he got hurt, Murray and McKinnon barely played. I mean, it was the Dalvin Cook show.
Oh, yeah.
I think Murray might have played more than McKinnon. I mean, just spelling him for a drive here and there.
Yeah, and it was probably mainly because he was a better pass blocker than McKinnon was anyways.
And Murray can catch the ball just fine. He doesn't have the wiggle and the speed, but he's got great hands. But Dalvin Cook's, I'd rather have him on the field on third down than McKinnon or Murray. Yep. Which is the problem we have with Peterson for years. We had to go sign a Chester Taylor or draft a Toby Gerhart to be that third down guy when your MVP can't stay in the field because he can't catch or block.
He can't catch. I mean, great. I mean, I loved it. You got me almost 2,100 rushing yards like that.
Right.
He's one of the greatest seasons ever.
He's but at a hell the same of a runner.
Time, if you could,
give me that three down back.
Oh, imagine if Peterson could have played all three downs. Like, if he could catch.
How can a guy like that not catch the ball? It's so weird. He clearly was the best athlete at his high school, at his elementary school, like, everywhere through his life.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember the people in our grade that, like, were the best. They could catch the ball.
Yeah.
They could do everything like, well. How do you, and they're not even pros at anything. They're nobody.
Exactly.
I mean Brad Hand is a pro. I mean,
that's so relevant.
Can he catch the ball? I don't know, but.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I mean, like, I feel like I can catch the football. You know, like.
He just looked awkward catching it.
Yeah.
All the time.
He just doesn't. I don't know what it is. I don't know
but
how
But, you know.
That's.
I mean, and early on, Cook had some. It looked like more of concentration drops where he's trying to run before he's. But he.
Yep.
When he catches it, it looks natural.
Well, exactly.
It looks like he knows how to catch a football.
And he had a lot of those, like, anticipation drops.
Yeah.
In the preseason. Where it was like, oh,
almost like he's nervous.
I think he was very nervous because he was like, I'm a second round pick. I should have been like, he probably felt like he was top 10.
Oh, talent wise, he's up there.
Yeah.
He's definitely not.
He probably felt like he was better than McCaffrey. He probably should have went higher than McCaffrey. But yeah, he definitely is.
He had some drops in the beginning, but towards those few games right before he got hurt, he was catching everything. Was giving screen calls to him. He seems like he can be a three down back for us.
Definitely.
We don't need McKinnon. Give me the compensation pick.
Yeah.
Compensatory or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
McKinnon. And I get it. You got paid. I hope he does well. He was always awesome.
I liked him.
Super cool guy. I just thought he. I think the 49ers think they're getting some star running back, and I think he's more of a solid running back.
Yeah, he's not. You watch McKinnon run. He
doesn't break a lot of tackles.
No, he doesn't wiggle through anything. No. Like,
he does this weird jump spin thing where he throws his back at a defender, and it's like, dude, you're getting tackled every time by that.
Yeah.
But you know, you can tell if you like see him on Twitter and stuff, he's putting work in the weight room. Maybe he's going to bulk up a little bit. And, I don't know.
And like you said, wish him the best.
Yeah,
but
except it's against Dalvin Cook, week 1.
Exactly.
15 shut him down like we did. Did Peterson do okay against us? I don't remember. We smoked the same.
No. Didn't he have like 4 carries for
Dalvin
like
Cook
yards?
Dominated and had to watch.
Yeah,
I think Dalvin Cook broke the record for most rushing yards. In a first game for the Vikings.
I think
some sort of record. I was there and they put it on the screen and I thought, oh, Peterson.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I think it was
I think it's a Vikings rookie record for most rushing yards in their first game or something.
Could it even been all rookie
teams?
Rookie no just
in a
Vikings,
rookie
season.
Oh, that could have been because Peterson smoked the Chargers as a rookie.
Was that his rookie year?
290 something. Yeah, that was his rookie year. I think it was just in the debut.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy that Peterson did that in his rookie year and then never got.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just remember him like. Running over the Bears at Soldier Field.
That was also his rookie year.
See, that's the thing. Like, I mean, after...
That's because teams were like, oh, who's this rookie? We don't need to put 8 guys in the box.
Yeah.
What they said. It was Ted Cottrell was the Chargers defensive coordinator, and he refused to put a 9th guy, 8th guy. He was just 7-man boxing it, and Peterson was just dragging him for 300 yards.
Damn near 300
I just thought, I remember, I mean, what was that? What year was that? 2007, because that's year's draft. So
yeah.
I was 17, and I just thought... Well, Peterson's clearly going to get like a bunch of these 250-yard, 300-yard games.
He just looked
ridiculous.
He was so much better than everyone.
He should have never. He bulked up one season, and then I think he ended up losing it a little later. But like he looked so like slender and fast, and just hit the hole so fast in his rookie year that it was.
He lost a lot of burst that year that he put on.
He was like, oh,
he wanted to be strong.
I want to be able to fight these linebackers. It's like, dude, no, just run. Like,
and that's the thing.
Any running back that puts on weight, unless it's like Christian McCaffrey or someone like, or Jerick McKinnon needs to, like, but like Dalvin Cook, I hope he never says I'm putting on 10 pounds of muscle. Yeah. It's like, dude, no.
It'd be like Leonard Fournette saying it's like, dude, you do not
you
need
should
10
maybe,
pounds of
yeah,
muscle.
You just need to be fast. Like, you're already strong enough.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing with Peterson, like, he just wanted to knock guys over.
Yeah,
when he was on the sideline, he made sure he knocked somebody on their ass before he went out.
He never went out of bounds. Yeah. That's his rookie season again against the Jets. There's that clip of him running over Reeves.
Yes.
And he could have easily. It's the preseason. And he could have went right out of bounds. He just clubs him to the ground. Yeah. But anyways, Dalvin Cook, lock. Murray, lock. You think CJ Ham's a lock to make the roster?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got to have a fullback. And
I can see them... potentially doing Blake Bell as like
an H-back type
if
thing.
If for some reason they don't like Ham.
Yeah.
But I think everyone likes Ham. I mean, he's
versatile. So I think it's a helpful thing.
I want to say lock to make the roster.
Yeah. I think he's a lock. Then there's obviously the battle for the third running back job.
You've got Ham.
I've got Ham basically just dueling spots, taking both. And
disagree with. I mean, that.
I think there's a very good possibility, though, a third running back makes the team. I think it's kind of...
I'm just kind of intrigued where you're going to add that extra...
I don't know where it ended up, but somewhere it ended up, if I did my math right. But let's actually go tight end first, since you brought up Blake Bell.
Okay.
Let's go to the tight ends. How many do you have making the team?
I've got 3.
I got 4, so here's already one where I got an extra one coming in.
Okay, is it Blake Bell?
Blake Bell's making the team.
It's Blake Bell. Okay, I do not have Blake Bell making the team.
Okay, so you've got Rudolph, Morgan, Conklin?
Yes. Yep.
I think Rudolph and Morgan locks. I mean, I think Kyle Rudolph, obviously, he's our best tight end. He's our pass catcher. He's red zone threat.
And I have a feeling that Kyle Rudolph has even a better year than he did last year, seeing how much Cousins loved
Cousins likes, the, likes the tight end.
I mean, it's...
Stiffy, if... I mean, he's going to get touchdowns.
Call me crazy, but I can... I mean, It would not surprise me if I see Kyle Rudolph with 12 touchdowns at the end of the year.
I think 10 plus is definitely possible. He's a red zone monster. And
to begin with, and then Cousins likes him more in the red zone. If Kyle Rudolph doesn't score 6 touchdowns and plays all 16 games, I'd be shocked just because of how much Cousins likes his tight ends. I mean, and we use him a lot.
How many touchdowns did Rudolph have last year? I mean, he had to have quite a bit.
8, 9.
And then he had the one against the Eagles in the playoffs. I mean, I just think he's so good in the red zone. So big, you know, just a big target.
He's 6'6", right?
What did Cousins say? It was like thrown into a mattress.
Something like that. It's like, well, it's probably because he sees those white gloves.
Those Hamburglar gloves. So then David Morgan, I think he was fantastic last year. He's kind of the new Rhett Ellison, kind of the new...
I don't even want to compare him to all of our other...
Nobody likes Rhett Ellison after he left and ran his mouth.
I'm just saying, like... David Morgan had one of the highest pro football focus grades, like run blocking. I think it was the second highest last year as a rookie. And like,
was he a rookie last year?
Yeah. Last year or 2 years? I think it was last year. But I mean, he was so much better. I mean, besides that block that on that weird play against the Eagles where he ran across
and that
the line. But I mean, I just know people.
2016, he was drafted, so it's okay. His so second year.
It'll be his 30. Still, yeah. I mean, being that young, that good at run blocking, like you get a lot of tight ends who are star tight ends. Like Evan Engram is never going to be able to block like David.
Well, and I think we took him as our new Rhett Ellison. Yeah, you know, but, as our new
and
blocker.
We started throwing to him a little,
and
bit
he
more.
Was surprisingly like he was, a little nimble. He kind of.
Don't get me wrong. I was kind of impressed.
Yeah, surprised.
Yeah, they whenever you heard about David Morgan, it was like, oh, great run blocking. Nobody ever talked about his pass catching. It was almost everyone was always saying like, his playmaking ability has a lot to be desired. It's like, I don't know. I mean, you see him, like you said, he's a lot more nimble than you think.
He's no Kyle Rudolph. He's not going to be out there running, you know, deep posts and stuff, but you drop it down to him. You know, in a pinch, he catches the ball every time. He makes the play.
I mean, he had a couple longer throws, I feel like, too. I mean, where he did run, like, a deep post or a deep in, and I was like, well.
I like a guy. He's clear his number one job is blocking. But as long as if you do throw him the ball, he's just not going to drop it. He's not like, oh, no, don't throw to that guy. David Morgan, he can catch every time, you know. I never felt like he was going to drop the ball. So, to me, I think that's
a lock.
Absolutely a lock. I mean, I don't know any reason. And then Tyler Conklin, the rookie.
Yep.
I kind of wavered on him as far as maybe trying to sneak him to the practice squad. I've just these tight ends we take every year. Bucky Hodges.
Michael Pruitt.
I mean, even Kyle Rudolph has made jokes I've saw on Twitter where he makes a comment like, oh, you know, how the last athletic tight end workout.
Yeah.
Because they're always people, you know, fans are get excited. Oh, Bucky Hodges is going to be the new athletic receiving tight end and Rudolph's just going to be and Bucky Hodges is even in the NFL. I don't know. He's not on our team.
And
but
Michael Pruitt bounced around. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if he's around anymore.
I don't know. Tyler Conklin. We're not scouts. We don't know everything. You know, we just watched a couple YouTube videos.
I liked what I saw when I watched some tape.
I think he looks like he could fit in as a. Yeah. And I know DeFilippo uses his tight ends. You know, I kind of thought, well, I'm going to keep a couple extra tight ends because I know DeFilippo likes that.
Yeah.
With Trey Burton and Zach Ertz last year with the
Eagles.
And
Selleck.
Yeah, even Selleck. They had a trio of tight ends.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. And yeah, I mean, I don't blame you for keeping Blake Bell. Like, I mean, he's been around. He's another guy too. Like when you throw it to him, it was like,
I thought he looked like he had good hands. He looked like he could kind of move pretty well. So.
And he wasn't the worst blocker, you know?
Yeah. And he was, I mean, he just, we took him off, I think, the 49ers practice squad. Or they waived him. It might not even be a practice squad. It might have just been a claim or something. But I thought when he showed up, he looked good. And I don't know. I've kept 4 tight ends. I'm not entirely sure why, but I kind of thought DeFilippo. I kind of thought a 4th tight end is a little more valuable than that 3rd running back that's never going to play unless someone gets hurt.
Okay.
So I thought CJ Ham can kind of plug in there.
And yeah, and I don't fault you for that, especially if we can't keep Rock Thomas on the practice squad. Like,
yeah, if you can slip
Blake
one
Bell,
through.
Because like keeping Blake Bell, I mean, and Bell probably. I think he plays special teams. I think he's one of the blockers for the field goal and punt team. So, I mean, you can never be too sure on that either. So Bell definitely plays a lot more than you'd actually mm-hmm. think. Just because you don't hear his name doesn't mean he doesn't play.
Yeah, he's not out there. Oh. All right, well, let's head to the receiver position.
All right.
I have 5 receivers making the team.
I have 6.
This was my last cut.
But I just...
had to plug a guy in at the end?
But at the same time, going over, I'm looking at all my numbers on both sides of everything. I never counted fullback, so I think I did keep 1 extra guy.
So you might have a 54-man roster?
Yeah, but at the same time, I know I added somebody at the last second because I noticed I didn't have enough guys, so I'll probably just drop him.
Well, we'll just power through that and say you got 6 receivers.
Yeah, so I got 6 receivers. We're going to pay Diggs. Hopefully before the season starts. Diggs.
I think he's a young Antonio Brown.
We extended Griffin after camp started last year, and a couple days later, Rhodes, and then a week later, Joseph. I think getting the boys back in camp, I think that's going to kind of escalate talks.
I just think Diggs is someone that you can't let walk at this age and this talent. Like, I think some people see him as just a pretty good receiver, solid above average, you know, a starter, very good player. But I think he's a monster. He can stay healthy. I think his route running, his hands, his work ethic, everything about him is just, he's a beast.
Exactly. And I mean, even as a rookie when he started playing.
Yeah, came on the scene immediately and was good.
Yeah. I mean, that catch against the Lions.
That route against the Lions.
And then the dive at the end. Yeah, I mean, like, that kind of effort, you know, he doesn't stop. I mean, that was kind of like, I'm going to make a play, I'm a rookie. But he puts that kind of effort into every route.
Play. He's just an animal.
You used to always hear Moss, you know, play when I want to play. Like, Diggs plays when he wants to play, and Diggs wants to play every play.
Put Diggs' mentality in Randy Moss, and you'd have a unstoppable player.
But Diggs, hopefully we pay him. I think he's going to have a monster year with Cousins. Barring injury.
Yeah, that's his one hang up is always he kind of gets nicked up.
But,
you know,
Julio Jones has only played like 16 games, like 4 years out of his 7-year career. So, like, I started looking more into it, like, you know, not every receiver is an Antonio Brown where he plays 16 games a year. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's smart to be like, oh, Diggs is banged up a few times a year. We shouldn't pay him.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think having, and obviously we got to figure out how to afford all this, but I think having Diggs and Thielen is just so much help to a quarterback that you know they can't just take a guy away. Because then you can go to the other side. You got 2 guys that are great route runners that get open. You're not, if it's just Thielen, they'll just double team him, and now you're down to throwing to just the role players.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think your offense.
Unless for some reason Treadwell just explodes onto the scene this year. Yeah.
Treadwell. Let's talk Treadwell.
He's
on the team. Do you think he's a lock? Yeah, I think he's a lock. I think contract wise, he has to be a lock. And obviously, I just don't think you take a guy at 20 years old to then be like, oh, he's no good in his second year.
Yeah.
Coming into his third year, let's cut him. I think that's ridiculous.
Like, he was 20 years old when he was drafted.
I remember taking him and going, oh, I kind of wanted Josh Doctson more, and then seeing the ages and being like, oh, wow. See, one of them's 3 years younger, 3 or 4. I don't know if Doctson was a
24-year-old.
I thought he was when he was picked. Yeah. So it's like, let's let Treadwell develop we had to let Rhodes and Waynes and these other guys had to develop.
When all those mock drafts were coming out, and you know, you saw Treadwell going top 10, then he started falling, you know, in the teens and everything like that. And I wanted Doctson, but
I wanted Corey Coleman number 1 actually, but I thought he was going to go soon.
I was a big Michael Thomas guy.
Really? Oh, well, that'd have been nice.
Yeah, very nice. But when we went Treadwell, I was ecstatic because it was like I never thought he was going to drop there. And being 20, mm-hmm. I mean, he.
In college, he was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, after his leg injury and stuff, when he came back, he was still good. And then
I think he can be good. I mean, you saw that catch was that against Green
Bay. Where he one-handed just plucked it. I mean, he's had some nice catches. From everything you hear, like in camp and in practice, his hands are great. His work ethic's fine. You know, they talk about him running stairs at night where maybe he shouldn't be, but at least he's not doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because he doesn't know like the entire playbook or if like his routes don't look the greatest. But like you see flashes where like you know, people bring him in to conversation with a bunch of other bust first round picks and everything, where like Darius Hayward-Bey never showed like flashes. Like he was always just super fast.
Well, and I just think to take a guy at 20 and then to write him off after his second year is so odd to me. Because, like, you know, guys like Roddy White, even, like, I think Demaryius Thomas didn't just bust on
Vincent
the team.
Jackson was the same way.
They take a few years.
Reggie Wayne, I think I saw, no, that was compared to someone else. But, like, Reggie Wayne, like, he only had 140 catches through his first 3 years. I know that's a lot more.
Yeah, Treble's, I
know that, but I'm just saying, like,
But what opportunity has Treble had when you're on a team with Diggs and Thielen? And yeah, the slot man coming in, Jarius Wright.
Yeah, you know, Treadwell doesn't play slot. I know Thielen plays slot occasionally.
Diggs plays a little slot.
Yeah, but at those times, you know, Treadwell is on the field. Yeah. But he's the fourth option
and
when he's on the field.
And a lot of times he's on the field, he's blocking, you know. I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy we thought he was going to be, you know, a first round. Like, if people thought he had the ability to be some sort of game changer, Dez Bryant.
I thought he could be that. So, I mean, obviously, if he doesn't become that, I mean, I'll be a little disappointed. But if he can be a solid player.
I'm just thinking like a big body possession, you know, like, you know, you can kind of fade it up to him.
That Bryce Butler from Dallas. Like, if he, because
well,
that
I hope
guy
he's
was
better than that guy.
Well, that guy was style, though.
I'm thinking like a even just a Kelvin Benjamin, you know, he's not that big or anything. I mean, Benjamin's 6'5", but just someone that you can run a 10-yard in and just.
Well, that's why I was going with like Bryce Butler, because you know he doesn't get the volume that Kelvin.
Well,
Benjamin,
that's more comparable like, to Treadwell. Just not getting the. Even if Treadwell became like Alshon Jeffrey, I think that would be a home run.
Well, yeah, I mean Alshon Jeffrey's
a very good receiver. Yeah, he just got paid. I just mean like, I think when we took Treadwell, some people saw it. Oh, he's the next, you know, he's going to be a Dez or, you know.
But, no, I'm with you. We're Alshon Jeffrey, like, you know, 10, like you said, 10-yard hitch route, you know, 10-yard
well,
third
I just,
downs.
And when I think of Jeffrey, he was just taking Josh Robinson and just making him look like a clown, you know. Little 5'10 Josh Robinson or whatever he was. I mean, and you just throw it up high to him. Not that Treadwell's, like, tall, but he plays big. He's kind of a broad guy, and I just think. I think it adds another good element to our receiver core if he can actually be.
We brought it up, his catch radius, you know, like
yeah. Oh, and he's going to need that because I don't think his separation is as good as Diggs and Thielen. They goes, you know, those guys get open.
Yeah,
I think when Diggs is or when Treadwell's covered, he might not actually be covered. It's almost similar to a Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice never got open. Sidney Rice wasn't a route runner. He was at amazing hands. He could track the ball in the air and he used his body.
Very
insane
well.
And could jump. I mean, that guy, like, you know, he'd be the guy right next to him, but he's still open because he's gonna find a way to get that ball from that.
He plays big, you know. Like, yeah. I mean, you might like Treadwell's 6'2". I know Rice is like 6'4", but they play bigger than what they're actually.
Yeah,
like. Diggs is 6 foot.
His contested catches is I think is number one on Pro Football Focus.
Yeah,
is his contested catches.
Diggs plays.
Put
6'6".
The ball in his area, he's gonna make the play. So.
Oh, he's not a number one receiver. You know, he's not 6'4". Give me a break.
Yeah.
Diggs is a number one receiver.
I think Antonio Brown has broken that mold.
I would sure hope
ridiculous.
So
though we both have those three.
Yeah.
And then who...
Well, actually, we skipped Thielen. I don't think we ever talked about
Thielen.
Well, Thielen,
you know,
I mean,
we love Thielen.
He's from Minnesota.
He's
if you didn't know that,
Detroit
he grew up... Yeah, did you know that he grew
I heard
up in
he grew
Detroit Lakes?
Detroit Lakes.
Yep.
He went to Mankato State.
No way.
And he wasn't even a UD, like a undrafted free agent. He was actually just a tryout.
Wow.
And they kept him.
Really?
And he slowly developed into a really, really good player.
That is crazy. Yeah. I did
and if
not
you're a Viking
that.
Fan, you actually kind of saw it progress, and you're like, wait a minute, this guy's actually
kind of
good.
Like the end of Bradford 2016,
yeah. It was like,
that game against Green Bay.
Yeah.
That game where he had like 12 or 200 yards.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, this Thielen guy can play.
He's awesome. We're going to have to pay him soon, though, too, because his three-year deal is a complete steal for us.
Yeah, and that what is up next year?
He's got one more year after this under contract, but that's usually when you redo it.
Yeah.
It's with one-year deal. So we'll see how that goes. I hope we can keep both of them.
If you had to choose.
I'm taking Diggs.
Taking Diggs.
I'm sorry. I think his upside is higher than Thielen's. I do. Thielen's awesome, though. Thielen is just...
Yep.
Reliable, ridiculous. Some of those catches in the Saints game in the playoffs, like the one where he got pass interference and he got held.
And he still made the play.
I mean, that play was insane.
Question: Would you say the Vikings have two top? What? Since we're on the guys, where would you rank Diggs in the league?
He's top 10 to me, talent wise. Now, again, it's he gets hurt.
No. Blah, just blah, blah. We're not gonna go injuries or anything like pure talent. Do you think
he's a top 10 receiver? I think Thielen's right there with him. I don't know. Maybe I can name 10 more than them, but who has a better duo than us of two receivers this good?
No one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is someone, but
you can make an argument. Juju and Antonio Brown,
that's pretty good. We haven't seen
Josh Gordon in a while, but I mean, and it depends Landry on how you Josh like
Gordon. Landry. I take both our guys over both.
I would too.
Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster? I think Antonio Brown's one, and then our two guys are 2-3, and then Schuster's 4. So it's kind of a
exactly. I'm the same way.
I'm sure we're forgetting some.
And Smith Schuster is only 21. Like that, he looked good.
Though. That's where it's like, wait, Treadwell, you've done nothing.
Yeah,
and Schuster, you're tearing it up.
Exactly. So
I feel like we're probably missing some team that's got two really good receivers. But at the same time, it's got to
be Diggs and Thielen.
And so
obviously you think Thielen is guaranteed top 20 in the league. Well,
yeah,
top 20 in the league.
Yeah, yeah. Diggs top 10.
All right. I agree.
I think people could argue that Thielen's better than Diggs. I see no problem arguing that side.
I'm open to the argument.
I'm more Diggs than Thielen, but I think they're both very good receivers. I think it's the best receivers that we've had since Sidney Rice and Percy Harvin.
Yeah, and I think these two are better than that combo that we had with Favre.
I think they, I would say they're better. I mean, Sidney Rice I really liked.
Yeah.
Harvin was kind of more of a gadget guy, but he was awesome.
Well, except for that one I watched this past week, that play he made against Green Bay, where he caught it over the middle.
Where the and Keystone all three Cops. I think it's Troy Aikman says they went Keystone Cops on it, and they all run into each other. Well, when he had Favre, that was the year. Him and Harvin, it was weird because it was, young guy, old veteran quarterback, but they just got each other, and it was
because Favre wanted to make the throw and Harvin wanted to make the play.
Yeah, and even then too with Sidney Rice, Favre just was like, dude, you can't cover this guy, and he just
exactly.
And then they had to deal with Ponder, and it was terrible.
Don't even worry T-Jack about that. So we got Diggs, Thielen, Treadwell, newcomer Kendall Wright.
Yeah, I don't have him as a lock.
No,
I think. Maybe I should. I don't know. He did have 50 plus catches last year. He's had a 1,000-yard season.
I mean, I was just looking at the hands we have in camp. Not too impressed outside of Stacy Coley.
Yeah, it is a lot of Carter camp bodies. I mean, there's been a little hype on some of them. But I think that's always kind of the talk with receivers. They always kind of get...
Rodney Adams was Mr. Mankato last year.
Steven Burton, remember him? He was always talked about. Jamar Johnson.
Yep. Greg Childs, before he would always tear his ACL.
He blew out his kneecaps or something, right?
Yeah, that's what it was.
But so I think that kind of gets talked about. And then I sort of think the veterans win the job or maybe one young guy.
You cut Jarius Wright, you had Kendall Wright, you need sure hands.
Yeah, and he's that veteran third down. He's going to make the play. I think he's an upgrade over Jarius Wright.
Yeah.
I love Jarius Wright, Mr. Reliable on third down, but one of them had 50 catches, one of them had 13.
Hasn't Kendall Wright hit 70 catches back with the Titans?
Yeah, well, he had 1,000 yards, I think, as his second year in the league. Yeah, so he's got talent. He's a good player, and I think it helps in case Treadwell does sort of let us down that you can slide a guy into the slot.
I bet Wright can play outside. I mean, if you really don't trust Treadwell or whoever we else,
if you slide a guy into the slot, you could put Wright out there. I think Kendall Wright can play at the outside more than Jarius Wright could too. So I think also a little good to add that versatility.
Yep.
And then my fifth is Stacy Coley. I think he continues to make the team and develop. And not that he is. I mean, maybe he can break out or something, but I think he's kind of just our. The guy we're developing, he's a backup punt returner.
He's the fifth wide receiver.
He might not be active on game days.
Yeah, but we don't use a lot of five receiver sets. Mm-hmm. It's mainly three wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back.
Two tight ends, maybe, mix it up. But, I think he'll make the team, and I think that'll be my five. You have a six.
I've got the burner.
Is that BB?
Who's Jeff Bidet.
Jeff Bidet is the burner. That's what it is. Okay. I was reading a few articles about him.
Yep. And then I saw today after I had him on the roster that he said he's the second fastest player in camp, second to Trey Waynes.
Oh yeah, Trey Waynes. Yeah,
he still thinks Waynes is faster than him. So like, you know, I like that. But my, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just another guy behind Coley. And you know, he's a burner.
And we don't really have a burner, so it might be something interesting to add. Exactly, to the like, if he can catch, you know, if he can run a streak.
Yeah, I know he was an undrafted free agent, but I'm just, you know, I'm thinking, you know, like you said, we don't have a burner. Maybe he clicks in camp. Maybe he like is a legit burner and can just beat
stretch a defense. Yeah, I think it's sort of what they thought Rodney Adams could be, and obviously didn't pan out that way. So maybe they try to add a second dimension to that.
Yeah, and I mean, so and I don't know. Maybe I don't know how he is in the return game. Maybe he can return kicks.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You're that fast. I feel like you've probably had experience doing one or the other. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a professional, so I have no idea if he can do it or not. But
all right. So I like six,
keeping six with the six burner. Six
receivers. I had five. Let's move on to the should we go tackles, guard, centers, or should we do offensive line as a whole?
Let's do offensive line as a whole.
Let's just do offensive line as a whole. Okay. Yep. How do you see our starting offensive line fleshing out to start the season?
I'll go Riley Reiff at, obviously, Reiff at left tackle. Easton left guard. Elfline at center. Remmers at right guard because that's where it sounds like they're slotting him. And it sounds like Rashad Hill is in the best shape of his life.
Offseason best shape of his life.
Yep. So he
and that is at that right is tackle. That's the same five I have. I have them all as locks to make the roster.
I don't think there's any way. I mean, you've seen like Boone get cut as like
and yeah, which was that was shocking. Yeah, I didn't expect that.
But like, I don't see like that being Nick Easton. I don't see Easton getting cut like because he doubles down as a center.
He's a backup center, and I think he fits our scheme. I think the problem was Boone just didn't end up fitting.
Yeah, it
didn't
make sense. And that's the thing. Why I really didn't want to break it down into positions because, like, I'd end up keeping just one center.
And that's Elf what line. I did keep Elfline as just our only center.
Yeah.
Because Easton I kept as the backup.
Exactly. So it was like that Quinn or who.
The other one in camp?
Yeah, the other center
in camp. Cornelius Edison is what I had.
Oh, there was one other guy, too, I saw. But, like, I was. Exactly, and like I
can't
never
body. Heard of,
yeah,
you know,
it's just yeah.
How many? So then we've got that's five. The five starters. How many backup linemen did you keep?
Four. I'm keeping nine total offensive.
I'm keeping 10.
You're keeping 10.
So I have five backups. I think I have three guards and two tackles. Okay. Now the other lock. I only have one other lock, and that's the second round pick Brian O'Neill.
Okay.
Now I think he's. I don't know if he's. Backup right tackle, but I think he's a future left tackle more. The way his body is and the way he's kind of an athletic tackle.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got to be a lock. I mean, you don't cut a second round.
Never going to cut him. So he's my only other lock because now I think they're going to cut like a Danny Isadora? No.
But yeah. But you can't.
Crazier things have happened. I'm not going to lock in a fifth rounder from last year, whatever he was.
Yeah.
So I got Danny Isadora.
Agreed.
Colby Gossett.
That was
our sixth round pick this year. I think it was a sixth round pick.
Okay, yep.
Tom Compton.
Yep, I got Compton as well.
And then at left tackle is a backup, Avante Collins.
Yep.
So the only one I kept was Gossett.
It was Gossett, yeah. So I kept
sliding Compton. Through practice squad.
Exactly, I kept Compton.
Which could definitely happen. I mean, a late round guard, you could put on practice squad probably just fine.
Yep.
I think what happened is I ended up with kind of an extra roster spot and thought, okay, I'll throw it at lineman, just because we're a little,
and that's where I would have went when I was like doing my, I was like nine lineman, like I feel like I should go 10, but I kept with the nine and was thinking 10 in case, you know, someone goes down.
Yeah. They can always pull him off from practice. I think, and also with Gossett, I thought I kind of read a lot of things where he's kind of more, he's ready, he's not a project, so maybe he is someone that could provide depth.
And but. You know, Gossett was. The 10th guy who I was going back and forth on. So, like, I mean, you know, Compton's a veteran. He's been around.
And I think he's Cousins' boy. I'm pretty sure he's Kirk Cousins' boy. Yeah. I think it was kind of a package thing. Hey, bring my boy Compton. And so I think he makes a team. And then Isadora and Ava. How do you say
Ava? Is it Aviante? Avante?
I like the way you said it first. Aviante. It sounded very nice.
Well, it's kind of in there.
I like both of them a lot. I think they both have – I think they both have good potential to just...
It just sounds like a lot of people do like Aviante Collins.
Yeah, and he was undrafted last year, but he was hyped kind of, you know, oh, this guy, surprised he fell to undrafted and then made the team. Brought him in for those six-man lines.
Yep.
And he did well. And then Isadora, he also played well during a few stints when he had to play. So
yep.
I think they both make the team, and I think that's...
I'm not super excited about our offensive line. Like, it doesn't... Like, on paper, it doesn't just go, wow.
I think it's very mediocre. I think we have no stars. I mean, Reef, Remmers, solid. Easton.
I think Remmers is better off at tackle, but, I mean, if you think...
I think he can do both above average.
If you think Rashad Hill is better than Danny Isadora, then obviously you slide Remmers over
the guard. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like our line, like, at its best is above average. There's no way it's going to be the Eagles line or anything like that. There's just no one on it, unless Elfline takes a big step. I know he's coming back from injury, but Reef is what he is. Remmers is what he is. I would say Easton is what he is. Rashad Hill could make a stride and become, but he's probably our worst lineman, so he needs to make a stride and become better. So,
I mean, it's...
I think it's our weakest position on the whole roster is our offensive line.
I would have liked to see us address that in the first round of the draft.
It just didn't fall that way for us. Once Ragnow, Wynn, and
Price.
Yeah, Billy Price. Once they were off the board, it was kind of like you could grab a guy. It might feel like a little bit of reach.
Yep, and I know a lot of people like myself. We were high on Will Hernandez, but I think he's more of like a big mauler kind of guy, kind of beat you up. Yeah, I think the guys who were left over did not fit with Zimmer. Mm-hmm. And Spielman saw as...
And like, I just don't think they wanted to reach for need. So they went, hey, Mike Hughes is a first-round value on our board. Corners always, can't ever have too many.
Waynes has this last...
Yeah.
This last year.
He's got his fifth-year option.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean...
But still, I mean, like...
You can never have too many corners. Guy goes down, you're going to need more, and...
Exactly. It's a passing league. Like, you can never, like you said, you can never have too many corners.
And then you kind of had a run right after us where the lineman went off the board, so you kind of got this project and Brian O'Neill. So it didn't fall exactly how we wanted, but I think maybe once people see Mike Hughes, they might not.
You know, I'd like to hear some noise around Brian O'Neill come training camp.
Looking good.
Yeah, if I start hearing that he looks lost out there, it's just going to be disappointing. Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be. No one wants to hear that. And, I guess on my offensive page, I've got punter and long snapper. Well, do we want to do special teams?
Yeah, just I got together? It. Let's just throw, before we head to defense, let's just do all the special teams. So, I mean, I assume you have Kevin McDermott, Ryan Quigley.
Yep.
Then who do you got winning the kicker battle?
I've got Carlson winning the kicker battle.
I think it's his. You don't draft a guy that early unless he completely tanks the camp.
Yeah, and it sounds like dude's fired about, I mean, dude gets fired up in practice, it kind of sounded like today.
Oh, already. Really?
Like, yeah. I didn't even, like it sounds like he's like ready to go. So I'm
big leg for kickoffs, you know.
Yeah,
Forbath isn't,
he's out of Auburn, right?
I believe that's what it was.
Yeah, I think it was Auburn, but so. I mean he hit a couple 50 yarders there. I'd like to see another Blair Walsh rookie year where he hits 10-50 yards.
And not lose his mind and
shake let's not a complete, talk complete about clown. I'm the one who brought him up. My bad, guys. I'm sorry.
Blair Walsh cost Teddy Bridgewater a playoff game. Never forget. I think Forbath was just he's run of the mill. I think he was a little better than that. I thought he was a little better than I expected.
He was better than I expected, but he was terrible at extra points. One of the lower extra
points. Yeah, I don't know what that was. He could hit a longer kick, but he would miss extra points. I thought he was pretty clutch in the Saints game in the playoffs.
Yeah, needed that.
But, again, I like how we decided, let's not just sit on our roster from last year. Let's try to get better. So add some competition there, you know, and let's continue, you know, just like, hey, instead of let's just go back to Keenum. We thought we can do better than Keenum. Let's go to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, whereas 2009 and 2010, it's just we threw the whole thing back out.
Let's just rerun it back. We'll be good. Yeah. And it just doesn't work that way. You've got to continue to try to get better. So same special teams me and you have.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Let's go jump into the D-line. Let's just do this all as one. Right, so that is the special teams. You want to jump into D-line then, and we'll do them. You want to do D-ends as one?
Yeah, I've got them separated. I mean, you want to do D-ends and D-tackles?
Yeah, I got them.
How about we tell each other how many total D-linemen, and then we'll talk.
Okay,
I've got 9 total D-linemen.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You have 10.
How do I keep having more players than you? It's that one
running back. I think we're going to end up. And we're going to end up finding it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I have 10. Okay, I have 10. So,
DNs first.
DNs.
We'll start with the man who just got his extension, Danielle Hunter.
Beast.
Obvious beast. I mean, a lot of people were like, oh, he had a down year. But, I mean, the way we used him was a lot different. Before, he was third down pass rusher. Go get the quarterback. Now it's, you know, hold the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him scramble.
In Zimmer's defense in general, it's not a stop the run on your way to the quarterback. It's stop the run and then worry about the quarterback. I mean, Zimmer always talks about how some defensive schemes have gone away from that, but he still stopped the run first. So
a lot of teams nowadays is just everyone on the edge, just go.
And it's, you know, we're not running like a wide nine or anything. So he does have to hold that edge. And I think he played very well. I think there's room for him to get better and better and better, but he's 23 I expect him to get better and better and better.
Exactly. So, oh yeah. I mean, you pay a man like that, and I mean, he's definitely expected to get better and better and better. And you brought up Zimmer's scheme of like stopping the run. I saw a stat today where Vikings allowed the least amount of missed tackles on run stops. They only missed like 39 or 33 missed tackles on running plays. So like that's huge. And, you know, Danielle Hunter is definitely a big part of that because, you know, he stops the run just as good as he can stop the pass. And he's 23. He's only going to get better. So he's a lock. Griffin, obviously lock. Coming back from plantar fasciitis.
Taking his shoes off in the middle of the field.
Just taking his shoes off in the middle of a play.
You just do that normally.
Yep. I got Tashaun Bauer making the team this year.
Yep, I got Bauer. I think he's... I'm hoping, and they're talking about it, more of a rotation, you know? Keep our guys a little more fresh. He looks good when he plays. He looks good in the preseason. I see no reason why he wouldn't make the team. Yep. I thought he was... It was another, like, Collins on the line... Undrafted last year, but sort of talked about as a high-end undrafted.
He was kind of like Danielle Hunter, where he wasn't, you know, obviously as physically gifted, but, you know, he was raw in that LSU defense. Like, they didn't unleash their ends.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that's... I like Bauer.
I hope he takes another step and he gets a little more snap so we keep our guys fresh, and I think he's on the team. I got Steven Weatherly making the team.
I do too. Again, with the rotation.
Yeah, and they seem to like him. They've kept him around for, it's got to be his fourth year, maybe.
It's got to be. And I mean, and I like him when he plays, like when he does get on the field, it's not like, oh, look, Weatherly missed the tackle again.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they don't get a lot of snaps, but when they do, they seem fine. So I'm hoping this year, rotate him in more, hopefully take another step to be even better. I like him. I like Bauer. And then I have do you have another DM making the team?
Yeah, I do. It's Robeson. Yep, and that's one I kind of went back and forth on.
I didn't have him as a lock. I didn't have anyone besides the two starters as locks for DMs.
Agreed.
I do think it's highly likely that a Bauer and a Weatherly and... I mean...
I can definitely see us keeping 5 DMs with Robeson being the fifth. I think the one that... I think... I don't want to call him a lock just because he was an undrafted rookie last year. But I feel like Bauer's making the team, and the fifth D end is Weatherly. I think that's the one they might switch in.
Yeah, that's the one. I think Robeson's probably more of a lock than Weatherly.
Yeah.
I do think it's kind of like, you know, Bauer made the team as an undrafted agent last year. We didn't add a ton of competition, so why he wouldn't make the team again, I don't know why. I mean, we added Aruna, I think, in the rookie draft this year.
Yeah.
We have a Fetty... He was a late round pick last year, I believe.
So I think he's a practice squad material again.
Yeah. And is that where he was most of the year last year?
I believe so,
So again, I just don't, unless he takes a huge step forward, I don't see how he's gonna pass up a Weatherly or a Bauer.
Yep.
And then that, Robeson. Like,
but you brought up that that one guy, that freak at that
Aruna.
Yeah, Aruna.
Adi Aruna, if that's how you say it.
Yeah. I'd like to see him make the team, or at least hold on to him, just because it sounds like he's a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to put together a little practice squad list. Okay. I gave up on it. But he was one that I immediately was like, if I'm cutting him, I'm putting him. You know, he's a draft pick this year.
Yep.
You don't just want to like throw your draft picks away right away.
Yeah.
And he seems kind of like a freak athlete, raw talent, so we can develop him. But I don't think he makes the 53. I think he ends up on the practice squad.
Yep.
I don't know who I would cut for to make him room for him, unless it's a Robeson surprise cut.
Or, you know? Yeah, it would be Robeson or Weatherly.
Yeah.
And that's because this dude tears it up.
Or maybe Weatherly just doesn't seem to be making any more progress. He's kind of...
Or Robeson, you know, is a lot slower. Yeah. He exactly just looks washed.
I mean, I thought Robeson, his play fell off towards the end of last year, but he's a veteran presence.
I
feel like it's a Chad Greenway type.
Yeah, and I don't hate it. I mean, you need guys like that. And
he did
make the
occasional play. I mean, he wasn't nothing. He's obviously knows what he's doing out there. So those are my... five. You had the same five?
I did. Besides quarterback, I think that's the first time we matched up.
Running back, receiver. Yeah. I mean, special teams.
Yeah, but.
That's obvious, though.
But yeah, I think that's the first.
That's crazy. That's the first time, yeah. Because you had an extra receiver. I had one short running back, an extra tight end.
No.
I had an extra lineman, I believe.
I honestly figured we'd be a lot closer than this.
Yes. This is kind of surprising. So that means I have an extra DT.
Yep.
Because you only have.
I only have four. I have
one extra.
I only have four.
Okay.
Obviously,
the two monsters in the middle.
Yep, Joseph and Richardson. And yeah. I think Richardson's going to be a splash.
If he stays healthy, I don't know why he wouldn't be a monster in this defense.
And
then I want to re-sign him. Like, I want him more than Anthony Barr. If he's that first-round talent the Jets had, and that it isn't just flashes, that it is a consistent, you know, a three-tech like Kevin Williams.
Oh, and that's what we missed last year, was that pressure right up the middle. Mm-hmm. Like, you can double it, you can show the double A gap blitz all you want, but without that interior pass rusher, like, it doesn't.
Yeah, you drop out, if they can block it, well, he's not too concerned about it. So,
and
I love the signing. I thought it was
huge. When we got Cousins, I thought that kind of put us out of the Richardson race.
I thought, okay.
Yeah, well, there's no way we're going to get two key signs, but we did.
That was always kind of a part of the Teddy argument. Well, you could get Teddy and Richardson.
Yep.
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, Trey Burton was another guy I targeted.
Yep.
Because he was a DeFilippo guy, tight end. I would think we could add another one. But Cousins and Richardson, I mean, that's a hell of a haul. I mean, those are two upgrades.
Huge.
That are huge. So, I mean, that adds a piece to our defense that we've been missing since Richardson, Shirley Floyd disappeared at his knee. Yeah.
Richardson, he brings a lot to the table.
Joseph Monster. I mean, dude's
best nose tackle in the game?
I mean, I think in a 4-3, like as far as the way we use him.
Yeah.
He's
a monster.
Front four is ridiculous. And they're locks. I mean, all of them are going to make the team.
Yep.
I have two more locks. And I'm guessing they're the two that you kept.
Jahleel Johnson.
Last year's third round pick?
Yes.
And I thought his preseason looked really good.
Yep. And
he didn't have a lot of snaps, but the few he had.
Yep. And he even looked good like when he played in the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, spelling Tom Johnson and stuff like that.
His run stoppability looked great. It looks like, you know, maybe he's got a little more upside as a rusher, but I think his bread and butter will be stopping the run.
Yep. I mean, if we do lose Richardson after the year, I mean, I'm not opposed to having if he makes another step forward.
Yeah.
I would not.
And if it's not him, maybe it's the other guy who I think is a lock.
Jalen Holmes.
Yeah, the rookie from this year, who they're converting from DN to DT.
Yep, putting on a little more weight because he was like 285 or something when he was drafted. So he's already a bigger defensive end for what we use him for.
So put him inside, let him brush the passer from in there.
Yep. Gain some weight, I think.
And it sounded like he was having a pretty good...
rookie camp.
OTA rookie camp, and then he broke his hand. But so we'll see. He's fully healthy, back.
You know, it'll be nice to...
Again, more rotation for these guys. Because, I mean, you did lose a little depth with Shamar Stephen, and you lost Tom Johnson, the starter, Brandon Richardson, but you lost the backup to Joseph.
Yep.
So Jahleel Johnson's going to have to step up and become that guy. And then Jalen Holmes.
And you saw what fresh legs down the D-line did during the Eagles Super Bowl run.
That's immediately why I think we need to do it more, is because of the way the Eagles did it.
Yeah.
I mean, guys have got to get exhausted at some point.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you know, you take things like that from every past champion. It's like, what was the one thing that they did the best? And I think switching out their D-line and Eagles lost a lot of D-linemen this year. I mean, they added Bennett, lost Vinny Curry and Bo Allen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how their depth's going to do, but I think...
But it's good depth, too. You know, yeah. They had good depth, and I think
we have good depth.
We do need some young guys to step up. You know, they're not sure thing, you know. I think Bauer's got a lot of talent. I think, obviously, Robeson's a veteran. And then Jahlil Johnson, I think, showed plenty of flashes to be that guy. So, you know, Jalen Holmes, I don't know much about. We'll see how he does, but...
Hopefully he's good.
Yeah.
Or at least serviceable.
So the last DT I have was David Perry.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we picked him from the Colts.
Yep.
Kind of a veteran. Sounds like he... Some off-the-field problems. I don't remember exactly. I think it might have been with alcohol, but I think he's cleaned up his act. And I think... I just thought, depth-wise... It'd be nice to have a veteran at DT. It's because you got Jahlil, second year. Jalen Holmes, rookie. I mean, I
don't hate it.
Yeah, I just thought if he can... And it sounds like... I think he's more of a nose. I think he's more of...
Could come
and sub in for... Maybe he can be a Shamar Stephen type or something. So, but who knows? I thought Will Sutton last year or who was the Green Bay guy we picked up? Dayton Jones. Yep. I thought, oh, those guys look good. He could end up like that and just not even make the roster. But I do have him making the 53... Definitely right not a lock, but
he makes it.
I kind of wanted to keep that extra DT because the backups are so young. So
okay, Steve Gorak, 10 D lineman.
10 D lineman, gotta have him. Is that what it is? Yeah, 10 D lineman, gotta go. I want that rotation.
Yeah,
let's jump to linebacker here. I think our depth here is pretty weak.
I was looking through our 90-man roster.
Is what we got
after. After my first four, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I really wish we could have signed Michael Kendricks.
Yeah.
I think he would have actually been a very useful signing.
Because, I mean, then you drop Gideon to depth. And, he's solid. He's a solid depth. I mean, he's a good...
He seemed like a fine four. You know, he's your when you have three linebackers out there, which is less than... half the time.
Yeah.
He was fine, just fine.
But to have him...
To be depth is much better because we don't have any depth.
Yeah. I mean, Kendricks over him is an upgrade. And then Gideon over... I'm just going to spit off the next two I have. Over Brothers and Eric Wilson.
Well,
I
mean, and Brothers is suspended.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I don't even have him making the team because he's official, you know... Yeah. He'll be on the... I think he'll make the team, but as a suspended player.
Okay.
Which kills our depth even more.
It does. I mean, because...
He was a great, you know, special teamer. I don't know how well he would be on defense, but...
So that's perfect. Like, I'll keep him off my list like you did, and that keeps my seventh guy who... Remember, I forgot to add CJ Ham. So, I mean, this works perfectly. I mean, the other three guys... I mean, I have six linebackers.
I have
seven with Brothers.
I only have five, six with Brothers.
The only reason why I added another one was just for special teams reasons.
That's what I thought. I just couldn't find a guy. Maybe someone will pop up like Eric Wilson did last year.
Yeah, my seventh or sixth or whatever was sounds like a good player. His name is Brett Taylor.
That's generic. That is a generic name. That's not going to do it. My guy that was close to making was Garrett Dooley.
See, I thought about him, but I was like, God, this Brett Taylor sounds like a quality human being.
I don't know. That's far too generic for me. But so are our five. You have six. Who are your six that make the team?
So my six minus Brothers is Barr, Kendricks, Gideon, Eric Wilson.
Three locks.
Yep.
Got Wilson's it. Almost a lock, but I wouldn't.
It's hard to consider. Him and Brothers were really good on special teams last year.
With his competition, it's almost like.
Yeah, I mean, he would have had. I mean, the guys that we don't know about would just have to be better than.
Yeah.
Blow
up. He was undrafted too last year, so that's Bauer, Collins, and him, which were three.
Yeah.
Which we've definitely spent a little more the past few years on.
Which is, I mean, and you almost have, I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a lot of guys, there's a lot of players who are undrafted and make plays.
Yep. So who, after Wilson, you have?
Antoine Williams.
Yeah, I have him as one of my cuts. I don't know much about him.
This is the position group where this was my hardest group.
Yeah, mine too. It's so easy with Jahlil Johnson, Jalen Holmes, Tashaun Bauer. These are guys we actually know. Yeah. These are guys we've drafted that have played a few snaps here and there. These backup linebackers, after you get to Wilson, Brothers is suspended.
Yeah.
Devontae Downs, do you have him making the team?
No, I do not.
We drafted him, right, as a rookie?
Yes, we did.
So, never played a snap. And these rest of these dudes, I don't even know who they are. I mean, they're either undrafted or they're scrap heap pickups or they're future contracts.
And that's the thing that surprises me that we didn't bring Emmanuel Lamar back. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, he got a contract somewhere?
I believe he did. So I don't know where.
And I get it. He was never nothing more than a backup.
But... I mean,
the depth at linebacker is the scariest spot.
We're so thin at linebacker. O-line and linebacker. I mean, we have one group on each side of the ball where it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Barr. Can you imagine if Barr or Kendricks gets hurt?
Well, you don't have anyone that can step in. I don't even know if Eric Wilson's a good actual defensive player. He's a great special teamer.
Couldn't tell you.
Has he played many snaps on defense?
Can Ben Gideon cover?
Yeah,
like imagine him playing nigga. I don't know much. I mean, I know he can, make a run stop here and there. But can he cover?
He's got to play in that nickel defense, if Barr or Kendrick throw down, that's a scary sight. Because
he's the man right behind him. I mean, unless like you said, Eric Wilson can play
or
ball.
Devontae Downs
or Kendrick Brothers can play once.
Yeah, once your suspension is up. I mean, that would help.
Four games, right?
I think it's four games. Yeah, yep. I actually have it right here.
And that four was games, for yeah. that was for
PDs.
Yep.
I look at it and I feel like that could be a spot where we pick up a veteran cut or someone else's, last man that didn't make their team, or we pluck out the practice squad. It is a spot though. I think we are just somewhat decent at finding guys. Ben Gideon wasn't an early pick. Eric Wilson was undrafted. Even Kentrell Brothers was, I think, a fifth
round pick. I mean, it just leaves a lot to be desired at that position.
Yeah.
Group.
I mean, when only your starters, in my opinion, are considered locks.
Exactly. When you can go anyway, yeah.
Like you said, do we know if Eric Wilson can cover? Can Ben Gideon cover? Can any of these guys play in the nickel defense?
That's where the Barr extension comes in, too. Barr can play nickel backer with the best of them. I mean, he's big enough to cover. It sounds like we're going to rush him off the edge this year a little more. So that's exciting to see.
It really makes that why we did pursue Michael Kendricks make a lot of sense. At first, it's like, so you're going to put Ben Gideon to backup. Okay, I get it. It kind of makes sense. But we're really thin at linebacker.
Yep.
And it's...
Yeah, I didn't realize how thin we were
breaking it down from 90, it really shows that that's one of our... I would say the depth is actually worse than O-line. The starters
Barr
and Kendricks are clear.
I mean, because when you throw, the rookie O'Neal, Isidore out there...
Collins. I think those are actual, guys that I'm... Okay, I've seen Collins come in. I've seen Isidore come in.
Those are guys you can plug and play. These linebackers, it's like, can you really plug them in?
No idea.
Let's say Gideon can play nickelback. What about 4-3? Can Eric Wilson or Antoine Williams, can they play the...
Or are they just special team?
Can they just fly down and go tackle a guy in the open?
I think that was clearly... Our weakest depth.
Yeah, that was definitely the toughest one.
It was a tough spot to pick even. But you got to get at least, because they're special teamers. So I was like, I got to at least get five.
Yeah, and that's why I went seven with Brothers.
And grabbed Antoine Williams and threw him on there with Brothers. And Down. Well, you didn't even have Downs making the team.
No, I had that Brett Taylor guy making
Brett
the team.
Brett Taylor. Your boy, Brett Taylor. We're going to keep track of Brett Taylor.
We're going to follow him his entire career.
Oh, yeah, forever. As far as he goes, Brett Taylor is Grape's boy.
The next Walmart he works at, I will find you.
He will get his autograph. He'll be a greeter. Brett Taylor. Do you even know anything about him?
No.
No, just a generic name in the world. All right. Well, let's move on to cornerback. Now, let's talk about going from a position with no depth. The cornerback position is loaded.
A lot. And I've got something on here that I know will surprise you.
How many you got making it?
I've got six.
I have six also.
Okay. I think I know exactly where we're going to differ.
You think we're going to differ? Because I think we're going to be spot on.
I actually had a change of heart on the one guy I know you're talking about.
So you know the undrafted.
So we're going, obviously, Rhodes and Waynes.
I think there's four locks.
I'm going to go 3.5 locks. The one guy. So we'll go with our three locks.
I think there's clearly four. I don't know what you're talking about. You're a madman. Rhodes, Waynes, Alexander, and Hughes. Are you cutting Alexander? I'm confused on what you're talking about here.
I'm cutting Mackenzie Alexander.
You're an idiot. That's just blasphemy. That is so stupid.
Zimmer can't stand Mackenzie Alexander. It sounds like every time he talks to him, it just sounds like he's just disgusted by the man.
Now, maybe a trade. Maybe a trade to get him off the team.
Yeah. Late
round pick. I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're out of your mind. I think Alexander's a lock. I think he plays a big role. I think Newman takes a back seat. You cut Alexander.
I cut Alexander. And you cut Alexander. I cut Alexander.
Okay.
So I don't know what it was.
Lock. He's a lock on mine and a cut on yours. Yep. So that's a big. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Keeping Newman.
I kept Newman also. I think his flexibility with them moving him around to safety a little bit helps him.
Yep.
Because I don't like the depth at safety. So I think him being able to kind of bounce back and forth, I think he's obviously a great veteran presence with the young corners we have. I think it's great to have. He's like a coach on the field. He's nickel. He's outside. He's everything. He might take a little step down, but I think he's at best our fifth corner.
Yeah.
At worst, even our sixth corner, because I have him as our sixth. I have him
as our fifth.
You think he's better than Alexander. At 40.
You're
going to cut better than a second-round pick in his third year.
Is it his third? I thought it was Treadwell, too.
Same draft.
Huge fan of Treadwell, though.
I think Alexander's better more than Treadwell.
You know, it's just, you know, Mac struggles in the slot. We've already got two outside corners. And another slot corner, Hughes.
I think Alexander's going to have to learn how to play the slot a little better. And outside. Maybe Hughes is here to help him just be a backup outside guy. Maybe Hughes takes over the slot, and then Alexander's just...
But, you know, you got four... If you're going to go four corners and you think Alexander's your fourth corner, if you can't play that slot guy, Rhodes can't play the slot. Waynes can't play the slot. It's just...
He's playing against the fourth receiver, though. He can take a fourth receiver.
I'd like to think so.
And I do think... We kind of actually oddly like rotated our corners. Like Newman would come in, Waynes would sit.
Early on
in the year, we did like this rotation.
Yeah,
because
sometimes
there'd be a whole drive where Waynes was just on the bench. I feel like it was more early on in the season than.
I think Waynes kind of solidified that job
after a while. But there was even drives where I saw Rhodes on the bench.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it was just. But it was. I thought it worked kind of well. So maybe they try to do some sort of rotation with Alexander as an outside guy.
And I think that's kind of what Zimmer tried to do because he knows Alexander. He's better outside than he is inside.
And it sounded like as a rookie he didn't even want to play nickel.
Yeah.
I would tell him to.
I mean, yeah. You're a second round pick.
What are you doing? But.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming we both. So Mike Hughes, obviously making the team, first round pick. His punt return ability is going to be huge. I think it's going to push Marcus Sherrills off the roster, who we both have as a cut.
I took Sherrills over Alexander.
You kept a punt returner over a second round pick 2 years ago.
I think, does Sherrills not play special teams, like, besides punt return?
He might, you don't think Mackenzie Alexander can play special teams?
No, I don't.
If you looked at the... I feel like you're basing that on absolutely nothing. If you actually pulled up snaps,
absolutely
for all
nothing.
We know, Alexander plays way more special teams.
You know what? I needed one bold move on my 53 man.
And you kept a punt returner.
I took Marcus Sherrills.
Who's not even going to punt return punts because Mike Hughes is going to be better than him. At least, for sure, kick returns.
At least Sherrills can tackle on punt returns and kickoffs, you know. I'm just basing this off nothing.
You're just claiming this whole thing that
It's going to be great when Sherrills makes the roster and Mac doesn't.
I just think this is finally Sherrills' year that he doesn't make the roster.
We've talked about that, for a while.
On the previous podcast.
Well, even
that no one's going to hear.
Well, there was a long conversation. For a year or two.
Yeah, at least a couple years. Then we'll drop the original podcast.
But I'm with you, though. I mean, it's hard keeping Sherrills just
based on the confused. Fact. So you have six corners. Who are they?
Trey Wayne, Xavier Rhodes, Mike Hughes, Terrence Newman, Sherrills, and Holton Hill.
Holton Hill, okay.
And Holton Hill.
I also have Holton Hill making the team. I wouldn't keep him over a second round pick from 2 years ago. Maybe that's just me holding on to Mackenzie Alexander, like second round
pedigree matters. I mean, it's nothing against Mac. I mean,
I think it was. I feel like it was. I feel like you absolutely have something against him. You just cut him.
Well, yeah.
So our difference is you cut Alexander for Sherrills, and yeah. I kept Alexander for Sherrills.
Which, I mean, you'll beat me on, but, you know, I just...
You wanted to
get
him.
Gotta go bold.
I think he was... Well, if he can prove he can return punts, I think Sherrills is out of a job.
Yeah.
I do think he probably can play special teams as a coverage guy, but I think any of these DBs could do it. I think they'll make Mike Hughes do it.
Yeah.
And I just think if he's not the starting punt returner, if someone can prove they're as reliable as he... I mean, his member, he was so reliable. That's like... He was never going to wiggle out of anything,
but like...
I mean, he had a little wiggle, enough to... Occasionally he broke one, but it was the fact that he never dropped it. He always made the right decision with a fair catch. He always...
There was that one game that he missed a couple years back against the Cowboys, and Thielen
fumbled it. Yeah. And it was just like, oh wait, Sherrill's always back there.
Yeah.
And you're not like, just call fair catch every time because you're going to screw it up. He always makes the right decision, so...
No, even if he's only getting 2-3 yards, I mean, that's... He doesn't fumble when
We've dealt with returners that cause negative plays.
I'm rolling my eyes right now. It's just bad thing.
But I don't think he's ever been properly pushed for that job. Like, yeah. Patterson couldn't return punts. Harvin couldn't return punts because they both just... The way they caught the ball wasn't safe back there, so they never let him do it. And Mike Hughes did do it in college, and I think he did it well, and I think he might be the guy that finally pushes Sherrills off the roster because...
And that's probably why he probably had a first-round grade from the Vikings.
Yeah, and because...
It wasn't just corner.
Yeah, returnability. Because I do think our kick returning, even more than our punt returning, I think Sherrills is a fine punt returner.
Yeah.
Our kick returners, McKinnon and Sherrills, were a complete zero threat. They were a joke. Both of them couldn't break anything, you know?
I mean, at least like Patterson, I mean, against the Raiders, I mean, he ran into a brick wall and then he bounced it outside and
returned for a touchdown. I think, is probably the best return in the league still. And
I can't think of anyone.
I mean, it's the one thing he does well. You know, it's not like he's a good receiver, but we went from Harvin.
Belichick's going to turn him into the player that he should have always been.
Belichick traded the pick that we took with him. Yeah. So. Fucking Belichick. But we did go from Harvin to Patterson.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, embarrassment of riches as kick returners go. Two of the best ever.
I mean, it's not like you don't get a lot of kick returns with the kickoff going from the 30 to 35 now.
Yeah. But
and the touchbacks go up to the 25.
You want that threat at least.
Oh, yeah.
With Sherrills and McKinnon, I didn't feel like we had any threat of breaking one.
No.
Like, it was like, just kneel the ball and get to the 25. Don't even try to take it out. Because
I don't care if you're only 3 yards deep. Like, kneel it.
Because yeah. You're not where Patterson, dude, be 9 yards deep. It's like, take it out. Yep. Take it out. You could score.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping maybe Mike Hughes has that sort of game-changing, game-breaking, you know, where you feel like a special team score could win the game for you. And
I hope he's electric with the ball.
So, and that, again, like you said, going back to like why we took him, I think we were looking to upgrade our special teams. We upgraded our kicker, or at least we hope. And
Quigley didn't have a freaking touchback.
Quigley was fine, you know.
More than fine. He didn't have a touchback
until the playoffs. So you got your punter's fine. You hopefully have moved from a solid kicker to a good kicker, and then your special teams returners to be more of a threat than they were last year, which is another element I'm glad to see our team, again, continuing to try to, like, actually get better instead of being like, hey, 13-3, we did it, let's just run it back.
Yeah.
Let's not even, you know, try to add competition to these spots.
Oh. And even if like, Carlson gets cut, at least you have pushed Forbath.
Yeah, at least, yeah. And people act like it's just a wasted pick or it's stupid to take a specialist. I mean, fifth-round picks get cut all the time. Fifth-round picks end up being nobodies, or you get a guy like Eric Wilson who beats out someone that you took in the fifth round at linebacker because you found... So take the kicker if you think he's the best kicker in the draft and throw him out there. If he loses to Forbath, he loses to Forbath. You know, I guess I just don't see it as that big of a deal.
Yeah,
If he becomes a great kicker, he could help our team a lot more than some fifth round practice squad guy could.
Or even like a Kentrell Brothers who's great on special teams, But a kicker is going to help you more than a good special teams
player. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Just, yeah, and okay, he's got to be good. But Blair Walsh certainly made an impact his rookie year.
Yeah.
That was it's much better.
Not like we took Roberto Aguayo in the second round.
Yeah, it was a fifth rounder. We did. Did we trade up for him? I think we did trade up.
We
for
did. Him. I don't care.
Again,
I don't care.
Fifth Spielman rounder. Turns picks out of nothing. I mean, he just creates them. So
yeah,
we'll be fine. Plus, again, we've cut plenty of fifth rounders, sixth rounders in that area before. That it's.
No, I'm not.
Some people are like any specialist, and it's just a terrible pick. And
yeah, well, that's because
punter. I get. I wouldn't take a punter in the draft at all.
I would take Brian Anger over Russell Wilson any day of the week, but that's just me and the old.
Oh
Jaguars,
my,
yeah.
that is unreal.
I mean, if you can flip field position just like that,
no, yeah. If all you're doing is just
hey,
three
just
and
remember,
outs,
punter is considered an offensive position.
Yeah. I think fifth round is the highest I would ever take any specialist.
Yeah, I would say.
I think
so
that's
too.
Exactly
I think
the
you
point.
Can find. Yeah, because I think
there's some real talent still in the fourth. It's a lot of like, oh, red flag here, red flag there, but like talented. Once you start to get the fifth and the sixth,
and
it's just like random.
I mean, it's weird we say, you know, like fifth round, like, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get Diggs in the fifth round, but that's, I know a lot of people might think, oh, you're talking shit about fifth round picks.
Well, yeah, well, let's look at all the rest of the fifth rounders. Diggs isn't some, it's always going to happen. Now, did you miss on a chance to get a Diggs because you took a kicker? Well, maybe you did, but maybe you, instead of taking some scrub linebacker, like who's that Nate Triplett? Who's that guy we took from the Gophers?
Was it Triplett?
I think it was Triplett. Instead of that bum, you take a kicker who's going to impact your team in a positive way year one. So I don't know. I don't totally hate the pick. And
Dan
I think
Bailey was undrafted and all of a sudden he's.
Well, kickers know, last year, what? Josh Elliott? Was that his name?
Yeah, for
Harrison
Butker.
Butker. I mean, these kickers played well, and they made an impact.
And Butker
was drafted by the Panthers.
I was just gonna say,
and they didn't even keep him.
No, because Graham Gano, good kicker,
and then he ended up going to the Chiefs and played well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess Chiefs look smarter there because they didn't draft him and they still got him. But
I mean, like the Panthers use a pick. Yeah. On a player who made an impact on an NFL roster. That's not a bad pick. I mean, yeah, I get it. It wasn't your roster.
Maybe it pushed Graham Gano to...
Maybe, exactly.
Didn't get lackadaisical. Didn't just like rest on, I'm a starter here.
Who knows? I mean, if...
Maybe Foreman kicks him. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Foreman goes from hitting 84% of his extra points
nobody,
to 90.
Nobody whines when we take, Mike Hughes to push Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes. But poor little Forbath. He's got a little competition, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't
get used to it. But I think we were on corners somehow.
We were on corners. Oh, because we were talking Sherrills and
What about Holton Hill? So you.
I think he
kind of reminds me of. Obviously, I don't know much about him. I know he was very talented, had some off the field or college problems, but he reminds me of a Tashaun Bauer. Collins, Eric Wilson, the type that they're talked up as almost a little bit more than an undrafted free agent. Like, he's an undrafted free agent, but, like, this dude's for real.
It sounds like Holton Hill shouldn't have been undrafted.
Exactly, like and that's sort of what
like
the other...
one of the hottest commodities after the draft.
Yeah, he actually sounds like more than those other guys. Those other guys, it was kind of like, oh, these are the top of the undrafted free agency class. Like, sounds like second, third-round talent that fell because he had some off-the-field issues.
Yeah, it sounds like, how didn't he get drafted at all? Like he's one of those guys where, like, he's got something special, but he had so many red flags, and everyone's just like,
and
no.
They just let him. And it sounds like a few things I've heard that he's picking it up well, that he seems to be meshing in good. So hopefully, I got him making the team. I got us keeping six corners, and I think that's got to be one of our deepest spots with – The depth we have there. And if he turns out to be good, I don't know. I don't even know how you can keep Trey Waynes. I mean,
I agree.
Mike Hughes, Holton Hill, if these guys are actually as good as they're.
And Holton Hill sounds like an outside corner. So, I mean, and like you said, if Hughes is as good, and Hughes can play nickel,
or
he can play
slide
slot or outside
or something.
So, I mean, it just. Having depth at corner is the best thing in the NFL right now.
Yeah. I mean, if Xavier Rhodes went down and you didn't have this type of depth. All of a sudden, you're forcing in, you know, on mine, it'd be up Mac Alexander or Terrence Newman.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your secondary's, your trash. Cornerback is, I mean, it's not nearly as good as it was. So having this depth, I think the Mike Hughes pick is going to look good. And I love it.
You can't have too many good corners.
And then I think the Holton Hill, I think that's the, the undrafted free agent that makes the team. I don't know if I have any. Do you have any other ones making the team?
Brett Taylor.
Right, Brett Taylor. Your boy Brett Taylor.
Didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, you didn't forget about him. Yeah, I think Holmes is the only one, which probably means I'll be wrong. Oh. I feel like there will be two.
And Jeff Bidet.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I like a clean butthole.
Is that his nickname?
Well, Bidet, you know.
I get it. Bidet. I just wonder if that's what we call him. Tough break. Okay, let's get to safeties and wrap this up. We got, I got four.
Yeah, obviously Hitman, Sendejo, who made huge strides last year. Like, he looked,
I like him. Legit. I mean, before I think eventually, it might have been 3 years ago by now. Dude just came up, Sendejo, this is like a missile. No control. Complete cloud. Just like, dude, you are the worst, man. Like, stop trying to knock people out and break
but
down.
But when he hits somebody, yeah, though, he hits somebody.
Which is rare. Dude clearly took on coaching and was like, okay, I need to. Occasionally he flies up there, but he doesn't miss nearly the amount of tackles. No. Seems way more fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
And he seems to be very good with Harrison back there. I made a huge play in the Saints game, that interception on Breeze. I think he's pretty good. I do think, like, eventually we could improve on his spot, but
he was, like, the fourth best safety in Pro Football Focus last year, though. I mentioned Pro Football Focus a lot, but, like, I mean, you see stuff like that.
Yeah,
It gets you amped up as a Vikings fan, going, oh, we got two of the top five safeties in the NFL. I mean, definitely not saying that.
All right, mark that down. You said Sendejo is a top five safety. I do think he's sort of a guy that, like, you don't hear much about, which is good, which means he's not getting burned. He's not screwing up.
Yep.
Just does what he needs to. So I think, made huge strides, I think, from 3 years ago when I wanted him off the team because all he did was fly up and miss tackles to a very, very solid player. He sort of reminds me of, like, a Ben Lieber.
Yeah.
Like, not a star, but not a backup.
Yep.
Definitely a solid starter that does his job, makes the plays when they need to be made, and doesn't mess up a lot, you know? So,
yep. And it's a guy, and those are the kind of guys
you can't have stars everywhere. Exactly. We kind of almost do, besides Ben Gideon and Sendejo, which is kind of crazy, but...
But I mean, solid. I mean, like...
Yeah, not a problem out there. Certainly a positive player.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, you can't have stars everywhere. And, like, guys who just do their job so, you know, the stars can make those plays.
Right.
I mean, because when Sendejo screws up, like, it's a big play happens behind them.
Mm-hmm. And it's rare. He doesn't do it much. Not anymore. He's came around.
Yeah, he's not a liability.
It's nice to see a player, like, literally go from,
yeah,
I wanted him gone to...
Now he's at the point where it's like, you know, there were some safeties out there in free agency, but it's none of them were, like, clear. I mean, besides Tyrann Mathieu, but there were
the
no
ones that are
clear.
You got, like, Eric Reed and you got Kenny Vaccaro and...
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I would sign them and immediately give them the job, you know?
I think Eric Reed probably a better safety than Sendejo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think he's that much better.
That you would put him in a new defense and think that he's going to pick it up and know exactly how to work with Harrison. Yep. And so,
because I think Reed and Sendejo play similar styles. So there was, like you said, you know, new defense. I mean, just the stuff Sendejo knows and, like, the chemistry with his D-backs, mm-hmm, there's no reason to upgrade.
And you're bringing back the entire defense except for the three tech. So
Which you upgraded.
So, I mean, these guys know how to play together, and I think it the more they can keep learning,
you know,
Zimmer's defense.
Besides the linebacker depth, I mean, you just kind of look through it and you go, like, you know, they've all played together for a while now.
Oh, yeah. Even, like, the backup safeties, Anthony Harris, Jaron Curse, it's got to be 3-4 years these guys have been on the team.
Yep.
And Harris has filled in nicely when he needs to.
Made a
big play against the Rams.
Curse plays good special teams.
Curse is more of a special teamer. I haven't really seen him do much on defense, but he is probably, along with Eric Wilson.
I can see Curse is one of those guys that I can see getting cut.
You can?
I can't. Just based on, I mean, I've got him making my team.
Yeah, oh, he's making mine too. I think he's one of our best
with the Newman thing. I don't know where
if we
want to add
move a guy. Yeah. Yeah.
But like if Newman does play the safety position well and they feel very comfortable, I think Harris makes it over Kearse because you see Harris on the defense more than you do Kearse. Yeah. You know?
I think Harris is, and I'm sure he plays the special teams. Maybe not as good as Kearse, but he does have that flexibility to actually be a defensive player. I think Kearse, like an Eric Wilson, there are two best defensive special teamers that just, you need those, like, at least a couple guys that are like your core guys. So Kearse, I if there was like a special teams lock, I'd say he's a lock for that.
Right on.
If, maybe he gets bounced if someone, you know,
shows up
and does something. But I think those four safeties are kind of who's going to be there. So I think that's running back the same safeties as last year.
Yep. And
it's not – Harris can fill in a pinch. You hope nobody gets hurt. But I think that's solid. It's not as good as the D-line or some of the other spots are cornerback. But
they know where – they know their spot. They'll do their job. I mean – We didn't add any competition, so it's...
Yeah, that's so what I always noticed. Like, there's nothing to safety. But
maybe that's the thing where it's like, all right, you know, Harris is going to sub whoever's out. Kearse is our special teamer. Like, we don't really need to push these guys because they know their job and they do their job. And they do their job pretty well. There's just, I don't know, how else are you going to upgrade? I mean, we spent money elsewhere. We used draft picks elsewhere.
Exactly right. It just didn't line up that there was any competition for out from that spot. And Harris, again, fine backup, can fit in. Kearse, great special teamer, fourth safety, that's fine. Oh. So looking at your 53, who do you think you left off, like your biggest cut? I mean, Mackenzie Alexander is obviously your biggest cut.
Yeah.
Other than
that.
It's mostly pretty...
It's all black and white.
I mean, Sherrills is a guy that's been on our team a long time that you kept.
Yeah, I kept just because I needed something bold.
Yep. And then other than that, I mean, Forbath losing his job, I think it's not that crazy. You drafted a kicker.
I think
someone we cut will surprise us and make the team. I mean, there's a lot of no-namers on here. Well,
there's 47 other guys that we cut.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know. I mean, there's just...
Otherwise,
I think one of these receivers could make it, like a Zylstra or a Tavarius King or a Corey Robertson or someone like that could maybe make it, but I kept them off.
I guess my biggest cut outside of Alexander, like name-wise, probably Blake Bell.
Blake Bell, yeah. I kept Blake Bell.
Yeah.
And that's someone that was on the 53 last year, so that's kind of a...
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think we were... fairly close. We had, we didn't line up a ton on every position, but
for the
I'm most sure part, we kept, 40 high 40s the same people.
One definitely got to be like 47 mm-hmm. or whatever kept players. But how about to close this out? We do who's your offense and defensive MVP? Who do you think is going to be?
I think Diggs on offense.
Diggs on offense.
I think him and Cousins are gonna be a hell of a tandem.
Right.
I think Diggs is gonna tear it up. I mean, it's tough not to say Cook because I'm so excited for Cook to come back.
Yep. See, and I thought you were gonna say Cook. I mean, I thought it was gonna be Cook, but I really like Diggs. Not the other way around.
I think Diggs. I just think he could be a 1,500 receiver, which is probably why he's not signing for a team-friendly deal because he knows he's got the talent.
Shit, what Cook's just got, like, Diggs is going to get 4 years, 5 years, 90 million.
He's going to get paid Diggs a lot. Diggs is going to get like that.
Dang near 100 million, and Beckham's going to get 100 million. But
who's your offensive guy?
I'm going to go Rudolph.
MVP Rudolph? You think, just a big year out of him.
Yeah,
a lot of touchdowns.
I think that's the thing. It's just going to be a lot of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking 12 touchdowns out of Rudolph this year. With that connection from,
I mean, Cousins. If he stays healthy, I think 10 plus is easy, but very attainable.
I think Cousins is going to find him on those third down plays, whether it be a short, medium, long. I think that's going to be his safety net. He used Jordan Reed a lot there in the red zone and third downs. And I just, I can see that happening with Rudolph, who was already good last year. And I'm going offensive MVP, Kyle Rudolph. Defensive MVP.
I assume it's Brett Taylor.
It's got to be Brett Taylor. He's going to take Eric Hendricks' job.
He's just going to get in there and make some plays.
I think I'm going to roll with Sheldon Richardson.
That's who I want to pick because it's such a great addition and such a good spot.
I want to pick somebody else. I'm going to see if you say it, but I'm going to – I think Sheldon Richardson just – I mean, it had something different that nobody has seen out of our defense yet.
With under Zimmer, he only had Floyd for a few games, and then he's been – Tom Johnson was a fine player, but this is something that is different that Zimmer can hopefully take advantage of. Oh. I'm going to say – which is surprising because I kind of hate on this guy a lot. I think we don't re-sign Barr and he plays his mind out to get paid.
Oh.
And we do use him as a pass rusher and he sort of takes another step onto being a playmaker, which I don't think he really is right now.
He disappears
a lot. I think he kind of gets back in that rookie form where he was stripping balls and running for touchdowns and knocking, you know, causing fumbles and blitzing. And I think he could be... I mean, there's obviously our defense is loaded with MVP candidates, and Harrison Smith would be an easy pick, or Rhodes, or I think maybe he's not MVP, but Barr's going to be, I think, if we keep him motivated, I almost think it's kind of a good idea not to re-sign him, to make him play out his last year and make him play for a new contract and see if all of a sudden it doesn't motivate him to just bring it every play.
True, because I mean, if, you know, potentially $15 million in front of you doesn't make you play your balls off, then you're not going to.
And that seems to be an issue with him is a little bit of motivation.
I love Barr. I'd love to keep Barr. I'd love to keep Diggs. But Barr just, he disappoints me. You know, I think he's a great player. Can be a great player.
And I think for the most part, he is a great player. He covers running backs amazingly. I'm sure he's doing his good job. The splash plays are missing.
Kendricks always shows, if there's somebody being tackled, Kendricks is at least like running in there at the end of the play where Barr's on the other side of the field or whatever, you know, like you see 54 a lot more than you see 55.
It just seems true. So I don't know how you pay Barr more than Kendricks. I feel like you should offer him the same contract and say take it or leave it. I mean, maybe you tag him down the road or do something else, but keep motivated, blitz him a little more. I think maybe use him in different ways. Maybe that would help him. He's, you know, him just as a 4-3 outside linebacker isn't his, you know, maybe he needs to be used in some blitzing, you know. And maybe he blossoms and becomes more of what was that, 12th overall pick? Or 11th overall?
No, 9th.
9th, yeah. 9th. So
we traded back from 8th to 9th, where the Browns got Justin Gilbert.
Yeah, Justin Gilbert. You wanted Johnny Football.
Yeah, right? But actually, I even wanted Justin Gilbert.
Yeah, because you're an idiot.
But then, you know, we drafted Barr. I immediately was on the Barr wagon. Come on now.
I was like, Anthony Barr, okay, whatever.
Wait, you made me so mad I broke my pen. Don't bring up Johnny Football.
Yeah, we'll talk about Johnny Football on a future episode. He just got traded in the Canadian League. So that's
to Montreal. Oh, Mike Sherman, terrible. He's the man who recruited him, former Packers head coach.
All right, well, I think it's about time we wrap this up. Yep. Next week, we'll do, I'm thinking, over-unders.
Yeah, let's do over-unders.
We'll start with the AFC, maybe do NFC the same episode, or maybe we'll split it into a two-parter. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how long
we'll take. But I think I'd like to start outside of the Vikings conference. Let's do some of the teams we don't know as well.
And yeah, because when we get to the NFC North, it's
I think we'll break it down like maybe a little more. Maybe we might even make NFC North its own.
Yeah,
break down some of the divisional opponents.
I mean,
a lot longer on them than we could on a Bills roster.
Do you mean they got AJ McCarron, Nathan Peterman?
But
what they've got LeSean McC.
Oh wait, didn't he? Maybe he didn't do. What did he do? I don't know.
They've got Sammy Watt. Forget it.
So but anyways,
Mafia, baby.
That was the first episode of Grapes and Gorak. We'll
hopefully you guys keep listening.
Hopefully Nick keeps listening.
Yep. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Number one fan.
Top fan. We will be back probably post it next Thursday. I think we're going to record on Tuesday, but we'll get a new episode out next week.